Today's reading is from the book of Mark, chapter 1, verses 21 to 28. They went to Capernaum, and when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. Just then, a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an evil spirit cried out, "What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." "Be quiet," said Jesus sternly. "Come out of him." The evil spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, "What is this? A new teaching, and with authority. He even gives orders to evil spirits, and they obey him." News about him spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee. This is the word of the Lord.
Well, here we are, Mark 1, 21 to 28, and Jesus' ministry has kicked off. He's called the disciples, and now we have the first of the miracles. It's interesting. I would have thought that maybe there could have been some teaching and some healing before we got to a casting out of a demon, but nope. Giddy up, Jesus is straight in. The first one that Mark hits on is the casting out of a demon. Now, this must be a significant thing. Because Jesus is being shown in Mark's gospel for his authority that he has. The authority in his teaching, the authority over the spiritual realm, and the authority over the physical realm. And we've seen that because it says in last week's passage that his teaching, he spoke with authority in the temples. And then we see this week that he casts out a demon, so he has that authority over the demons and the spiritual realm. And next week we have the healing of Peter's mother-in-law, and we see how he has authority over the physical realm. And so it's a really good thing. I actually love how he teaches with authority, because I've heard many teachers in my life, whether it be at school, workplaces, colleges, lots and lots of teachers. Some teachers have been impactful and insightful. Others, well, not so. But there's probably been three notable teachers across my life where I've sat there and gone, wow, that teacher has just spoken in such an amazing way. Probably one of the most significant when I was at college was the Reverend Dr. Dean Drayton, past president of our church, but also used to teach in a subject called missiology, the Missio Dei, the mission of God into the world. His passion, understanding and humility while teaching, and his verve to bring us alive into this area of our own lives of seeing God's mission and being part of it and being excited to be part of God's mission. It was so astoundingly beautiful. He was an authority who was more than just words in a book. He was a man who had walked the walk, talked the talk, and his hands and feet had gone before him in so many different ways. Well, in Mark 1, teaching in the temple and casting a demon, that's where we're at, giddy up. The start of Jesus' ministry is in the temple, teaching, and there is a noticeable difference as he is recognized as one with authority. That's right, one with authority. And this, for the people who would have been sitting there, would have gone, I suppose it's like if you've had some really boring teaching in church, and you sit there and go, one of my disciplines is I read or listen to a sermon every single day. And I've been doing it now for nearly 20 years. Steel sharpens steel, let me tell you. And it's been really helpful for me. But I've got to say, some of the sermons I've listened to, I should have turned them off after 2 minutes, but God just sits there and says, no. Understand that this sermon is one that's being preached somewhere in the world. And I sit there and think, wow. But there's so many sermons that are not taught with authority or with passion. They're not taught with the excitement that God is going to use you, God loves you, and God wants to partner with you in this mission into the world. But that's exactly what drives me in my ministry. And so there's this difference that from how the other rabbis have been teaching in the temple and what they've been saying and how they've been saying it, I think that it's probably become a very dry cup for many. But Jesus stands and teaches with authority, and they recognize it straight away. I reckon people are sitting there going, wow, this guy is absolutely different. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as though he had authority, not as a teacher of the law, it says in verse 22, that he had authority, you know. And so Mark sets his agenda on Jesus' authority. The word authority, it conjures up many images for us, doesn't it, hey? Police and politicians, the military, school principals. I dealt with a lot of school principals for some reason. Or maybe signs like, do not cross this line, or wait until you're called. Or maybe some of our friends who've always seemed to have an expert opinion on everything. Oh yes, well, if it was me, this is how I'd fix that. Authority. Who speaks with authority, and what authority is it, and how does it get there? So what is Mark trying to convey here? Well, Jesus' authority in this story is twofold. His authority to understand, connect, and teach, the wonderful intention behind the scriptures of the law, because, well, he and his father are the great authors of the scriptures, and they know the intention behind it. And these people are so taken back that they recognize in his nature and the way of his natural authority in teaching about God. No surprise, if you're God's son, that you should have a natural authority in how you teach. The second in this story, though, is the authority into the spiritual realm to cast out demons, having control over the evil spirits, things that would have been disruptive to the temple life back then. These spirits, though, they recognize him and his authority, and they even speak up about this too. They name him, this one today names him as the Holy One of God, Son of God, Son of David, they call him sometimes, and more in Mark's Gospel. And Jesus silences them. So who is Jesus? Is he just a man of good teachings and lifestyle choices, or is he the author of our lives? See, is he just a person who dealt with the spiritual oppression in the scriptures, or can he deal with the spiritual oppressions that shackle and challenge us today? And I think that this is where it comes down to. See, if he's the author of our lives, if he's the author of the scriptures, he really knows how the Bible can talk into our lives today, and he can continue to teach into our lives in a most authoritative way. If he's more than just a good spirit conjurer or get ridderer, evictor, then he is the master over the spiritual realm. He is the king over the spiritual realm. And he has authority. And if that's the case, there are people today who are still shackled by the spirits and demons of this world that hold them back in so many different ways. And so he can release those oppressions and shackles that challenge us. See, he speaks with authority and not with impotency. And he continues to do so today into all of our lives as long as you let him. As long as you let him. Church, there's a difference between Jesus speaking with authority and the church speaking with authority. Okay, let me just say that Jesus speaking with authority is totally different to the church speaking with authority. Jesus' framework is always pure love. He just loves all people, and he wants to see all people reconnected to God. The church is often speaking around societal behaviors, political, legal paradigms, and more, and trying to speak expertly into areas where, well, sometimes they aren't experts. And sometimes they're trying to speak with authority into areas where they've absolutely failed society. Yeah, true. Just think of some of the royal commissions that have happened. Yeah, not good, is it? And then they try and speak with authority. It's a challenge. But this challenge needs to be taken up. So just remember, when you're reading through the scriptures and you see the words of Jesus, if they're in conflict with what your church is telling you or your denomination is telling you, then at that point, it's your denomination that has the problem, not Jesus. Jesus came and saved all people equally, whether they were young or old, male or female, whether they were black, white, brindle, it did not matter. Whether they worshipped our God, Jesus Christ himself, and the Father, and were empowered by the Holy Spirit, or whether they were Muslim, he came for those people too, all of them equally. That's it. This is the framework around Jesus. But our denominations would sometimes say that they're more exclusive and then they're more connected to God than other denominations. And it's at that point there's a profanity being spoken. See, that's why when some churches speak with authority, they're actually speaking like Pharisees and Sadducees that Jesus took on. When he teaches in the temple in Luke 4, He turns around and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me, to proclaim the good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's good favour. Then he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes on everyone in the synagogue were fastened upon him. And he began by saying to them, today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. You know, these two stories actually tie together, and today Jesus is still speaking with that authority. He has a potent message for a society that desperately craves it. Jesus came with this potent message, and not some harmless words or some kind of nice namby-pamby words to just, oh, there, you'll be right. No. He came with these firm, challenging, and sometimes harsh words in Mark's gospel, but words that offered hope and restoration. Yes. See, society is craving potent words and not some humdrum, let's not offend, let's not challenge, let's just defend in a very generalistic way. Actually, there's nothing wrong with having a firm belief in what you believe about Jesus. There's nothing wrong with having a belief of how Jesus has changed and transformed your life. It's up to the others to interrogate that, and that's okay. You don't need to defend God. You just need to be connected. Jesus in Mark's gospel is strong-worded, though. Just remember that. Folks, society wants to know why you believe in this Jesus, the Son of God, Messiah and Saviour of the world. Ask yourself this. How would your life be without him? I mean, sure, you'd get a sleep in on a Sunday morning. You might not have to sing very often. And you wouldn't have to have cups of tea and coffee with a whole heap of people after church, some of whom you might not even know. And you wouldn't have to face changes and challenges when the new minister comes along and upends stuff in the church. We're called to show them as his hands and feet, to show them through love and kindness, to show them that there's a testimony of life restored in Jesus Christ for all. Church growth, in today's words, we tend to say the church grew. In the book of Acts, they don't say the church grew. They actually said that the word spread. The word spread. And that's different to the church growing. See, the church is just, we see it as just fixed in one place. But the word, it spreads through the community. It's like a fire burning into the community, igniting and exciting people to know more about God. And people start to have a craving to know more, who is this Jesus? Who is this Jesus that they're talking about? And is this guy still relevant in 2024 as he was back in 1970? Yeah, he is. Jesus didn't come to build buildings and war chests of money for church hierarchy and supposed outreach. No. He came to reconnect the world to his Father. I wonder what he would say about the church of today and what challenges there could be. But the church sometimes is often deaf to criticism. It was in Jesus' time and it is often today. And that's what all the denominations get hung up on. They actually become deaf. So many people in our society want to connect with God in spite of the church. I get people who come along to our play groups, who come along to our craft groups, and they'll tell me, oh yeah, we believe in a spiritual higher being than ourselves, but we won't call it God and we don't need to come to church. It's because denominations have behaved in such silly ways sometimes in the past that it hasn't given anyone an appetite to want to connect with God in our churches. But the church does not acknowledge or engage this very well sometimes, and that is sad. Society actually wants churches that are transparent, ethical, and with a heart for the people. And if you only get two out of these three things right, you've failed. You've failed the pub test, that's right. So does church pass the pub test? I mean, because there are probably more people in pubs that don't know of God than in our churches. And so the pubs is probably the place that matters most to Jesus. Oh dear. I'll probably get some emails correcting me on this, but I actually think that Jesus would probably go hang out and tell people about connecting to God in a pub more so than in a church today. The church in Jesus' day, well, the priesthood was often more well off than most, with coffers filled for the poor and needy, if only they could work out who they were meant to be. Their liturgy and worship was disconnected from God and the people and found it irrelevant, and just going through the motions was what they were doing. The preaching was impotent and pouring, and along comes Jesus. Along comes Jesus teaching with authority. Well, when you are the Son of God, filled with the Holy Spirit, you surely know how to preach and teach with authority. Amen. And he teaches with authority, then he shows them how he actually has real authority into the spiritual realm. That's why this miracle is before the physical. Because it's more than just about the physicality. He wants to show, I teach from the spiritual, I heal in the spiritual, which is the casting out of the demon. And then he comes into the physical realm for us as well. The next two miracles recorded are the casting out of a demon which we come across today, and then the healing of Simon's mother-in-law, authority into that physical realm. People do not want Christians to just go through the motions, preach, teach, and live and breathe our community as impotent, unempowered people. No, they don't want us to be impotent and unempowered people. They cry out, Holy Spirit, do your stuff in us. Holy Spirit, do your stuff in us. That we would be made alive and excited in Jesus' name to be ministers in this great community. And seeing others come to know this same joy, this same hope that we have. Jesus' ministry is potent and with authority. And as the word spread about Jesus' authority and potency, his ministry grew and grew. And he actually kept going from town to town to town. Now, you would think that being a good Jewish boy preaching in their temples, healing their sick, casting out the demons, his church hierarchy would have celebrated his gifts and talents. No, they didn't. In fact, they're threatened. As he threatened their income, he threatened their power, he threatened their authority. And they suffered the lustful greed of mankind, and it stank, and the people saw it, and that's why they saw Jesus teaching with authority. A friend of mine recently asked why so many churches are dying and closing in spite of some very faithful Christians being part of them. Irrelevancy reigns supreme in so many of our churches today. So many, you know, I keep telling people, you can't have faith without doubt. And if your 16 or 18-year-old kid comes to you and says, Mum, Dad, I don't know if I believe all these stories in the Bible being true. You know what I've said to my sons when they do it? Good. Can't have faith without doubt. It's good to have doubt. Tells me you're starting to think like a man, like an adult. Let's play with this a little bit more then. Rather than, how dare you even question the Bible? See, so many churches are also running services or moving towards exactly what is comfortable for the gathered people. That's the other problem. Oh, let's just make church about us, the gathered people. Really? See, that's the problem. So then all of a sudden you sit there 20 years later, still doing what you were doing 20 years before, and the same people are still sitting there, and there's been no new people coming to church. And we all go, oh, there's no church growth. We can't work it out. It's because you just do what you want to do for you, rather than doing what society needs to be done. Oh, break down those doors and kick them open so that the society may come in and tell you how they might want to connect with God in your church today. Many churches are doing what pleases themselves and then say, I don't think we are irrelevant, as it's just outsiders don't really understand our rich traditions. Huh. Yep. The rich tradition of a call and response prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And you say it. And you know what? They were doing it 100 years ago. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Oh Lord, we beseech thee because... No! It's totally irrelevant. Totally irrelevant. In verse 22, it says this. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as the teachers of the law. So he's different because he's doing it differently. Okay? And he's doing it with authority. 27. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, what is this? A new teaching with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him. Whew. What is this new teaching for our society today then? Jesus? Is it Jesus? Not just denominations? I just want to say it's Jesus. Mark wants you to know from the start that number one, Jesus is the real deal, God's Son, Saviour of the world. Number two, He is of the very essence God, with all his authority over all things. Number three, setting a new covenant of liberty and grace is at the heart of our relationship with God, and Jesus is doing exactly that. The takeaway from the sermon this week should be, well, maybe flick open the scriptures and jump into Mark and see how he is writing to you personally today. If you haven't read the book of Mark this month, you still got a couple of days, and really, to be honest, half an hour, you'll be nailing it, you'll be through it. It's really not that hard. Look for the hidden challenges and the conflicts that Jesus is taking on as he leads the world back to his Father, as he leads us in society back to his Father today. May you help people discover God and his word and be more caught up on that than talking about church and how it grows. See, the church will grow if you just live out a really authentic, genuine Christian life. If you just talk about programs to make a church grow, society will see through it. They know a car salesman, though, when they see one. Let me tell you, they do. It will grow if people come to know his word and him. So be potent for Christ this week, brothers and sisters. Be potent for Christ this week. Amen.